Welcome to the Honestly Carly podcast, the truth about staying strong, sane, and seen in midlife. This is the podcast where fitness, hormone health, and real life collide, hosted by me, Carly Corrigal, midlife PT and former lawyer. I'm here with honest conversations about what it actually takes to feel incredible over 40, because yep, that's still possible. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Honestly Carly podcast. I'm your host, Carly Corrigal, and I'm doing something a little bit different today. I haven't done this before on the podcast, but last week I did an episode on strength training, the complete guide. And if you haven't listened to that episode yet, I'd strongly recommend you go back and have a little listen, because that's going to give you the context. But from that episode, I had so many messages on my Instagram, so many emails from people just with, because I'd invited questions about strength training as a woman in midlife. Now, I just love hearing from you as to what you found useful, the things maybe I haven't covered, the things that you're like, yes, Carly, but. And I always want to give you the honest truth, hence this podcast is called Honestly Carly. So I thought we needed to revisit these, because I'm pretty sure, in fact, I'm certain, that these are not questions that only five or six people want the answers to at a time. These are questions that you are going to want to know the answers to. So that is what we're going to dive into today. I've got my cup of coffee at the ready. I've got my most often asked questions right beside me, and we're going to just dive in. So let's start with grip strength. This is a biggie, and I think it rears its head a lot in midlife. Lots of reasons. So sometimes a dip in hormones that we experience could lead to things like carpal tunnel syndrome. We might find that we get arthritis in the small joints of our hands. It might just be that we haven't really been used to doing this type of training. And so often I hear from women, I think I could lift heavier, but my grip strength isn't there. I just can't hold the weights. And there's lots we can do about this, actually, people. So I'd suggest a two-pronged attack if this is you. Now, first thing, we want to train that grip strength. Grip strength is a fantastic marker of health and longevity. Okay, it's really, really important that we master this grip strength and get it as strong as possible for later life, not least of all, because it's really bloody inconvenient to have to get someone else to open your jars for you. But that aside, and this is including people who might have arthritis in those small joints in their wrists and their hands, we want it as strong as possible. How do we train this? So a few things, just keep going with it. It will come, it will improve with time. So if you're finding now you're picking up your dumbbells, your grip strength is going before the rest of you, just keep going with it. Certain exercises can really help. You can get grip strength trainers. They're like little squeezy things with a coiled spring. They're really, really useful. You can sit and do those whilst you're watching TV. Also things like farmer's carries. So this is where you might have a heavy weight in each hand. You're just picking them up, keeping the rest of your body nice and tall, your posture strong, and you're just walking up and down the room. If you Google it, you'll see the exercise. Really, really useful for training grip strength. Okay, so that's attack number one, is actually work on that grip strength, train it specifically. Oh, another thing you can do, dead hangs off a bar. If you've got a bar, you can go and hang off it. Really, really good to train your grip strength. Number two, okay, is to get some assistance. Now, for lifting those heavy weights, what can be really useful, and again, it saves your hands getting really calloused and sore, is to buy yourself a little pair of lifting gloves. Really, really cheap. Get them off Amazon. Other stores are available. They've got usually like a leather or a suede bit of padding on the palm across and underneath those pads of your fingers. Really, really useful. I use them all the time. You can also get little lifting straps that you put around your wrists and you put around your weights, especially if you're using barbells. Really, really useful for helping you with that grip strength. What about if you just really can't lift them at all? Well, then, my friends, I would look at perhaps moving into adding resistance in other ways. So if, for example, you just find you just don't have the grip strength there, perhaps you do have arthritis or carpal tunnel and it's just very painful. What you could look at doing then, for example, if you're working some lower body sets, is you could take it into some single leg work. So you can then afford to lift a lighter weight, because you're only on one leg. So things like split squats, Bulgarian split squats, lunge variations. You're not going to need to worry about your grip as much because you've got a lighter weight there, but you're just training one side. So you're just training one leg at a time. That's really, really useful. This is also when you might want to consider something like a weighted vest. So I think weighted vests are massively oversold to midlife women. That's a whole extra conversation. But what you are doing there is adding resistance. And if you can't get it through holding those weights, we can get it in other ways by making ourselves heavier. So that's when a weighted vest could be really, really useful. Okay, grip strength, done. Moving on. What's a good starting weight? Again, this is probably the second most asked question that I have. And it is a very tricky one for me to answer as a personal trainer. I would say to anyone coming to my strength classes, you want a weight that you can comfortably-ish press overhead for about 12 repetitions, okay, as your starting weight, because that's the toughest thing you're probably going to have to do. And I'm unlikely to ask you to do it for that many reps. It's very, very personal. And we talked last week, if you haven't listened, go back and have a little listen to that about progressive overload. It has to be heavy for you. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this in a different context in a moment. But there is no point in just buying weights because they are, and I say this with love because I know we all, you know, are budgeting. You're kind of thinking, oh, I'm not really sure what to go with. I don't want to overestimate myself. Buying weights that are too light and then just like wanging them about, it's not going to do you any good. You're not going to get any benefit from them. So maybe if you can, go to somewhere like a Decathlon and have a little try, have a little play around. It could be that someone you know has weights that you can go and have a little play around and see how they feel for you. Often when I'm talking to women, they tend to start with a set of around between 4 and 6 kgs maybe, but it's so personal. You might need to go a lot lighter, okay? Or you might be like, wow, this is easy. I'm going to go heavier. You can mess about with things you've got in your house. We've talked about this before. So, you know, find some heavy objects, fill a backpack with loads of books, make it as heavy as possible, experiment with it. The main thing is not the number on the side of that dumbbell. It's that it is heavy for you. So it's going to create that mechanical tension through the muscles, pulling on the bone. It's going to create that stimulus and you can progressively make it harder. That progressive overload, it's really, really important. So that is a very long-winded way of saying there is no ideal starting weight, but it has to be challenging for you depending on the type of work you're doing. And don't just settle, okay? Don't just settle for whatever's there. It's an investment. All right. Another question that I had was, I really love Body Pump, but you've kind of said it's bad. Should I stop it? Right. I don't hate Body Pump. I really don't hate it. I just think that if you are coming at strength training afresh as a midlife woman and you're looking for something to do that's going to really benefit your muscles, your bone, your nervous system, Body Pump doesn't tick enough boxes for me. And that is because you are working very much into the endurance zone. You're doing maybe a whole track for one set of muscles. There's very minimal rest in there. It is super fun. I love how fun it is, how enjoyable it is, and how accessible it makes weight training. And it might be that actually, you know, you can't train weights at home. You get access to a nice variety of different weights. It's sociable. I do not want you stopping doing the things that you love. Absolutely not. There is a place for everything, but we must understand when time is short and when money is short, as it is for many of us, that certain things are not going to give you that bang for your buck. And it depends about your goal. It depends on your goals. So you might be sat here thinking, but actually, I think I'm getting stronger doing this and I really enjoy it and it gives me that mental space. I love the music. I love the teacher. Fine. That's your goal, right? That is your goal. I'm not telling you you're wrong. I'm not telling you don't do it. But if someone comes to me and says, Carly, I want to get bloody strong in midlife. I really want to future-proof my body. Would body pump be the ideal option? It's not the ideal option for that goal, but it totally depends on your goals. So, you know, please, please, please don't give up the things you love, because exercise should be about mental health and exploring the things you love. It's really, really crucial. And actually, yes, it works into that endurance zone. And again, listen to last week's pod because you're going to get an explanation of what different types of rep ranges do for your muscles. But what we do know, and this is a slight caveat here, there was I think it was 2017, a big meta-analysis which looked at lots of different studies and concluded that this low load training, so more of an endurance type of training, does produce similar muscle growth to the higher load of training. So, you know, when you're lifting a heavier weight, but only when you're taking it close to failure. So what we mean by failure here, which sounds very dramatic, it's very much a PT expression, but this is when you are at a point where you literally can't lift anymore. So if you're close to failure, you're like, oh my God, I can't do another one without dropping this weight with, you know, I'm going to be doing it with rubbish form. Okay. So we do know that when you push it to the absolute ends like that, it can produce a similar muscle growth, right? And this was a study actually of both men and women, although the majority of the participants, as always, were younger men, but that's beside the point. So you will still get benefits from doing something like a body pump or an equivalent class. Absolutely. You will still get that muscle growth, but you've got to be still lifting heavier. You've got to still be progressing your weights. You are not getting into that pure strength and power range. You're just not, that you would with a high load and a lower weight. But it's horses for courses, okay? Similarly, and I want to just segue in here, I had some questions about Pilates after last week as well. And I have some amazing Pilates teachers in my little black book. Lots of my friends are incredible Pilates teachers, and I am a huge fan of Pilates. And there is a lot of crossover. Okay, but I think we need to work out, firstly, because people were saying to me, but I do Pilates and I love Pilates, and does that not tick my strength training box? I'm questioning myself. I don't want you questioning yourself at all here, okay? I want you confident in what the two do and where there is overlap and where there is crossover. Okay, so firstly, it's very much going to depend on the type of Pilates class you are doing and what your teacher is doing. Are they progressively overloading you, making it more difficult every time, or when you're ready, I should say, rather than every time? You might find that actually sometimes you need to back off. But is it a progressive class? I know there are some amazing teachers who are adding in extraneous weights. They're adding in resistance. They are adding in dumbbells to their classes. Fantastic addition, okay? You can easily overload in this way. Pilates, for me, is about control. It's about stability, posture, core strength, the integration of the breath and the movement, okay? And that is where Pilates is absolute gold, okay? It also gives you this awareness of your body, this beautiful awareness of your body in space. It improves something called your proprioception, which we need to lift weights safely and effectively, all right? But again, we come back to that idea of the reps and the weights discussion. What is it you're looking to build here? If you're doing a lot of reps of the same thing in Pilates and you're not going heavy enough, it's not going to build that muscle, all right? I think it's really, really important that you just understand the role that it plays. But it's really, you know, it's a really good tool for you. So please don't go and pack it in. Just have a think about where that fits into what you're doing across your week. And I made a flippant comment about people telling me they haven't got time for strength training or the money for strength classes, but, you know, they're dropping money on Reformer. And Reformer can be very expensive, but it is all about priorities. So again, just like with the body pump, we come back to the time that you have available, what you want to get out of that time, and you pick your workouts accordingly. But if you love it, keep going with it. And I'm absolutely not dissing Pilates. I really hate the way, actually, small rant on my soapbox, I really hate the way a lot of modern social media is pitting the two against each other, strength training versus Pilates, because I think the two are really harmoniously linked. And just like in anything, you can get good and bad PTs, you can get good and bad Pilates classes. You just have to find one that's working for you, okay? Right, my friends, we are rattling through this now. I'm going to get a little bit more into the nitty-gritty of the strength stuff itself. So I was asked this question. People talk about strength and conditioning. What is conditioning? Oh, good question. So people often put this bandy this around. I hear this from runners a lot, fellow runners, who are like, especially ones that work with a coach, and they're like, oh, my coach says I have to do my strength and conditioning. And I'm like, okay, great. What are you doing for your conditioning? And they're like, So conditioning really is an add-on to strength, but it doesn't necessarily mean the same thing. What we're talking about here are the activities, the movement patterns, the exercises that are conditioning you for your chosen sport or activity. Okay, so I will give you some examples. If you are a runner, then your conditioning activities need to be specific to your running. So yes, you might do some general strength work to improve your whole body strength, but what does running use? It uses your lower body. You also need to think about keeping your core really strong so you can transfer that load from your lower body to your upper body, and you want to keep some nice movement through that mid to upper back so you can get a nice natural arm swing. So your conditioning element is going to be the movement patterns that you specifically train that are going to help you. They're going to put the spring in your step. They're going to keep your hips lovely and mobile. They're going to get your small muscles in your bum, so your glute med, your piriformis, you're going to get those firing. It's all of those additional stuff. So that could include something like some plyometric work, some jump work, maybe some mobility for the mid and upper back. Those kind of things. We're looking at the specific conditioning. Likewise, I'll use my son as an example. He's a basketball player. He needs to be able to jump really high, so he does a lot of plyometric work. That is his conditioning work. Okay, so strength and conditioning, we often lump the two in together, but they're slightly different. There is a crossover there because obviously some of your conditioning work will be strength and vice versa. Do you need it in your life? Well, think about what you're aiming to do. If you're a tennis player or a netball player or a football player, yes, you absolutely need to do some sport-specific conditioning if you want to specifically improve that sport, but that can come in later. So that is a quick explanation of what that means. Okay, right. Another question, rest periods. This was a biggie, actually, because I didn't talk about this. And everyone's like, yeah, but you left it out. You talked about reps and sets in last week's pod, but I didn't hear what you... Did you say anything about rest periods? Because, of course, this is part of your workout. So you're going to do your squats. You're maybe going to do 5 really hard squats and you're going to do 4 sets, right? How long are you resting in between? Now, the reason I didn't go into this is because it is highly variable. And although in my classes, I tend to do it by time because I've got a rough idea of how long you would need after each set. When you're training on your own, you need to go by how you feel. And it's really, really important. And something I do say every week when I do my teach my classes is that when I give you a rest period, even if it seems a little long, you do not go off and do all the things, right? I know you. You don't go off and go, oh, there's a bit of fluff on the floor. I'm going to go and run over there and put it in the bin. And, oh, hang on quickly. I just need to do this. No. Rest periods when you are strength training are absolutely key. It's when the muscle fibers recover. It's when your central nervous system recovers so you can go again. And to take it to the extreme, I'll give you an example. Okay, if I'm going to go and do some pull-ups in my gym, and pull-ups are, I'm going to come onto those in a minute because someone asked me about pull-ups. So if I'm going to go and do some pull-ups in my gym, I can only do a couple of really good reps at the moment. I'm working on that for this year. This is my personal goal. Now, if I go and wang out, say, 4 pull-ups in the gym, okay, but I want to do maybe a couple of sets, I absolutely cannot just stand there for 10 seconds and then go again. There is no way. If you're working to the very end of your range, there's no way you're going to be sufficiently recovered to go again. So you need to give yourself that rest period. It's so important. Otherwise, you can't come back in and work at your maximum. So please just go by how your body feels. It's probably longer than you think. I can't give you a set time. You need to go by feel. Sort of related to this is a question about supersetting. So superset, again, it's a PT word, and it's about putting different exercises back to back. So you might do, like, I don't know, 5 heavy squats, then you'll drop to the floor and do 5 press-ups. And then you'll go back to your squats. The idea being that while your lower body is recovering because you're doing your press-ups, then you can go straight back in without any rest period. It is a very efficient way of training. Is it the best way of training? I think there's a place for it. And I do throw some supersets in every other week into my strength training classes because I think it's really interesting to get your body firing in lots of different ways. If you're training for pure strength, that power range, the very low rep range, I wouldn't do it. I think you need that full recovery in between. I think that you will not be able to fire on all cylinders if you're doing something in that rest period. I think it's a very technical part of programming and something you might be listening to this going, no, this is way beyond me and I'll let you worry about that. Thank you, Carly. But again, I think supersets are fantastic. They can be really efficient. If you're training for something like a HYROX, that's basically like one long superset. So it's really useful. But you need to go again by how your body's feeling. And if you are doing, you know, lunges, then bicep curls, then lunges, then bicep curls, for example, how do you feel on each of them? Do you feel like you're compromised? Can you give your all? Because if you can't, you're not going to get that progressive overload. And my friends, that is exactly what we need in order for the muscles to grow. All right. Okay, next question, which is, why are pull-ups so hard? And this was prompted because I posted something about me having pull-ups as my goal for this year. So sometimes we get a bogey exercise and they're hard, but I'm just going to very briefly talk to you about pull-ups because I know some of you want to be able to do pull-ups because it's a really nice pie trick. And it is a great feeling when you can get up there. So pull-ups are harder for us women because we have a lower center of gravity usually. We have a heavier bottom half than most men and we have a heavier lower body to upper body ratio. So it's more challenging for us. A lot will depend on the length of your levers, how long your arms are, how long your body is, how long your legs are relative to one another as well. And also you're training a very specific activity that we don't practice in everyday life. The grip strength point comes in. We also engage a lot of the back muscles, or you should be. If you're trying to do a pull-up using just your biceps, you're going to find it impossible, right? You need to be using those back muscles. And to be honest, we don't train the back muscles enough because we don't see them and we don't think about them. And we maybe think about sort of the more cosmetically, and this is absolutely, by the way, no judgment, but we think about the muscles that we can see and we don't think about the back. So you need to do some specific back work, some conditioning work if you're training a pull-up. So that might look like dead hangs off a bar to improve your grip strength, because if you can't hang off a bar, then you're never going to be able to get up to a pull-up because you need to at the very least be able to do that. You might look at doing lots of different row variations. So if you've got access to a cable machine, some lateral pull-downs, might want to do some mid-back rows. Lots of different things there that we can do. I might actually launch a little first pull-up challenge at some point because it's been a journey for me. And I think lots of women are on the same page. But no, they are hard. You're not weak if you can't do them. And I know they're frustrating for a lot of women, but think about your back, training your back. Also, you know, it's conditioning again, isn't it? We're talking about that strength and conditioning element. Okay, someone asked me, and they were saying it a bit tongue-in-cheek, I know, but they said, can't I just eat protein to improve my muscles? I know I probably can't, but what's the interplay? So it's an interesting question, isn't it? Because I think we're sold protein now as midlife women as being this panacea, and it's great. I mean, absolutely eat your protein. But there has been some quite good research comparing the two. So looking at what strength training does and what protein, in increasing your protein intake to a suitable intake, an optimal intake does. So there was a large meta-analysis of randomized trials, which is the gold standard, which found that resistance and protein together increased muscle mass significantly more than protein alone. Okay, so protein on its own has quite a modest effect. But when you add strength, that is when your muscle really changes. Okay. So it's a bit like, I explain this to clients sometimes. Think of protein, think of a box of Lego, and think of protein as being the Lego blocks. in that box. There's a lot of words there, tongue twisters. Okay, so strength training is the instructions to build, all right? So you can have this whole load of Lego just sat around. We've probably all got a dusty old box of Lego from when our kids were small, right? But unless you've got the instructions, you're not actually going to build anything, and we want to be building here. So that is kind of the crossover. Think of it that way. Equally, you do need sufficient caloric intake, energy intake. You need to be eating enough, and you need to be eating enough protein in order to build your muscles, because they are the building blocks. Remember that from school? Protein is the building blocks. So we need to be making sure we're getting enough protein. And I will at some point do a protein deep dive podcast, because I think we all need it, my friends. Okay, we're getting to the business end now. I hope this is helpful. So, final question. And again, this was a little bit tongue in cheek. It was a little bit of a question where it's like, but I've read this. What do you think? I want your view, Carly. So there are a lot of Instagram posts, quite a lot of chatter out there, as well as the pet hate one about pitching Pilates against strength training, saying that women don't need different training regimens, they don't need to train differently to men, and a lot of this centers around strength. They're saying that people who are selling strength training programs for women are just patronizing women, that they are dressing it up with a pink bow and trying to sell it. It's all a marketing ploy. What's going on? And obviously, as somebody who only works with women in midlife, who teaches weekly fitness classes that are tailored to women in midlife, this is a juicy one for me. And it's really interesting, isn't it? So what's the truth here? And I am going to be honest. I'm going to be 100% honest with you on this. So looking at the training and looking at the research, most of the research that we have around strength training and its impact has historically been done on men, and actually younger men. Often it's college age students. So we do have to think about this when we're applying it to us. That said, when women are included in studies, they do respond in similar ways. You know, the muscle still adapts to tension and to progressive overload. And those are the most important things here. You have to have that load on the muscles, and it has to be continually reviewed, continually increased. Okay, so we don't, our physiology isn't different in that way. So yeah, absolutely. If you've got a cracking strength program for men, or for men and women, it is going to be cracking, right? It's going to be banging. But what does change in midlife, and I've talked about this ad nauseam on other podcasts, is recovery, stress, your reaction to stress, your as well as your level of stress, your hormones, and what someone like me does is program to account for all of those things. So you don't have to think about it. So when I'm programming for women, yes, absolutely, my husband could do those classes and have a great effect, right? Absolutely. A younger woman could do my classes and still benefit. I have younger women doing my classes, right? But I'm thinking about all of that nuance, all of the stuff that is unique to midlife. I'm thinking about the fact that you don't have a bloody hour and a quarter to get to a gym and do all the work, right? I'm thinking about this. I'm like, how can we get the most potent version of this workout done and dusted in 30 minutes, right? I'm thinking about what we need. We need this balance between doing the very, very heavy lifts, maybe for just a few reps, versus maybe doing some more functional movements, things that are going to help us as we move through life, this conditioning element. I want you to be able to get up from the floor and reach into a cupboard overhead in one smooth movement. So I train that with you every week. I'm thinking about your recovery. I'm thinking, well, okay, we don't want to put too much in this class, but we need it to be challenging. I'm progressively overloading every week. So it isn't just a common or garden strength class that I'm thinking about and just whacking a midlife pink bow on the top. It really isn't, I promise you. It's just very carefully crafted. So it ticks all of those boxes. So you don't have to go weeding around thinking, oh, is this doing this for me? And is it a bit too much of that? I'm just being very mindful of all those things and making it a one-stop shop. And when you pair it with HIIT as well, if that's appropriate for you, you're going to get this complete stimulus for your body and your nervous system without overloading it, okay? And that's why I teach the two together, because they are such a great complement for one another. So no, I'm not a bloody charlatan peddling blimmin' women-specific workouts because I'm claiming that women are different and our, you know, our muscles work differently. No, right? The muscle will always adapt to tension and progressive overload. It doesn't know that you're a man or a woman, right? But all of those other factors surrounding it are shifting and changing. And I think, I firmly believe, and I know this through my own experience, the studies that I read, the conversations I have with fellow experts and the women I work with, that this is really important. And we are classically understudied. We do not have a plethora of research on midlife women because historically there hasn't been the interest there and we are complicated. I hope there will be more, my friends. I really hope there will be more. Right. I've chatted away through all of these. I've finished my coffee. I hope you found that useful. Please know from this that you can always ask me questions. No question is a stupid question. I love hearing from you. So please pop over to Instagram. I am at Carly Corrigal there. And you can get in touch. We can have a little chat back and forth. And you never know, you might be included in a future podcast with your question. If you are interested in training with me and seeing what I have to offer, you can head to my website and I will put the link in the show notes there. My classes, Train with Carly, and they are programmed just to tick all of those training boxes for us in midlife. My friends, I've enjoyed spending time with you this week. Thank you so much for listening. I will chat to you next time. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to Honestly Carly. If you love today's chat, then why not share it with a friend? Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you're feeling really kind, leave a 5-star review. I'll see you next time for more honest chat and science-backed strategy for feeling strong, confident, and capable in midlife. Have a great week.